Hallelujah. Isn't it something after 30 years? You burn in. Lamp of the righteous burns brighter and brighter. 30 years, it gets better and better and better. Isn't it great? My whole world is falling apart. Not the one He gave you. If you're holding on to that one too tight, you may go down with it.
Everybody's forsaken me.
Not Him.
You just don't, it's just the problem nobody can solve.
I beg to differ with you. I know someone in whom nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing. In fact, there's only one that has the power to defeat you. It's not the devil. It's not your flesh. Mm-mm. It's not God. It's you. You're the only one that can defeat yourself. Nothing else has the power.
Well, God is stronger than me.
He's stronger than you if you're in agreement with Him. But if you and your heart and your actions decide not to believe Him, you just render Him absolutely powerless. Thank God there's only one person that can stop me. That's me.
Well, people treat me mean.
Oh, you're the first one in history. Hallelujah. I don't mind telling you, about the last 2 months, a revelation on the righteousness of God started crystallizing enough to where I started receiving from that realm. And as you know, many statements in our prayer and power conference came from that realm. When I talked about His righteousness, not yours, His. His, the kind that's always been. I still don't know that much about it, but I know enough to talk about it. And those statements that were coming from another realm answered lots and lots of questions. The kind that keeps taking you further down the born-again trail to the place where He says, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this righteousness that I got a glimpse of, the only kind of glimpse God can give you, you don't know how long it lasts. A milligram of a second, it doesn't really matter. Once the glimpse, then the understanding begins. And a lot of things I got to say out of that realm already, mostly in just statements. But they have done so much to my receiving and my faith, I can hardly stand it. Tim made a statement. He said, there's one, God can't go and override a person's will who doesn't want to be overrode. And I said, that's right. If He could, there wouldn't be anybody in hell. Don't you just love little statements like that? But this righteous place, in God's attributes, I understand that I had to understand other facets of that righteousness. Other facets of His attributes to understand that righteousness I got a good look at 2 or 3 months ago. Like His love that I started to experience a couple of years ago. And then a love, let me have a look at my Father. And I started experiencing my Father like I'd never had. And then came the statements, You know, don't accuse me. Take it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. And he says, look, don't accuse me through these things. And several things came online, and when I understood them, then came this glimpse of his righteousness. And for some reason, it did more to my receiving than any single thing for a long time. I don't know why exactly yet, except that when I saw his righteousness sovereignly go into the future, and the immutability of his person means he can't change, nor can he be changed, because there's nothing that has the power to change him. And in his sovereignty, which means his sovereignly omnipotent, there is no say-so, no operation, nothing anywhere that is higher, more powerful, that has any other say-so than what he has said. The way it is how he said it is. And he's sovereign. Well, I found out he was sovereignly immutable. And immutably sovereign. Just to look at his love stunned me. I found out he sovereignly loves, and he loves sovereignly. Well, then I found out he sovereignly loves, and he's righteousness. He's sovereignly righteous, and he's righteously sovereign. He sovereignly loves, he loves sovereignly, and he loves righteously, and he's love righteously, righteously love. So all the nine attributes are each other. They're a facet of him that explains that part that can never change. In the righteousness, I like this part. He said there's no shadow of turning. That's what a sundial does. It marks time. In him, there is no shadow of the turning of time. 86,273,009,002 days and a second from now, he'll have the same righteousness. Can't change. And in that righteousness, he's impregnable. In him's no darkness at all. No matter what you do, you can't put the slightest indentation, not the slightest little dent, not even a little impression, not even the beginning of disturbance or intrusion into his righteousness, because he can't change. Yet when you were cut off, he found a way to come after you. Boy, I sure wouldn't insult him with your unbelief. He found a way to come after you. Yes. Took 4,000 years for the cross to be erected. Up until that time, he had to find a way to talk to you. So he said, look, there's a death penalty on you. God, I need to talk to you. He said, I can't talk to you. I'm impregnable. There's no darkness in me at all. I can't talk to you. He says, wait a minute. I'll take your death penalty. And I'll lay it on this animal. And I'll kill him in your place. And it'll charge your debt to the cross. Now, what is it that you want? I'd go, hallelujah. Okay. All right. Is there anything I can do for you while we're waiting for the cross? Yeah, you can build me a temple. And when you're done, slay about 144,000 burnt offerings so I can talk to the nation of Israel. He's done more than that. When Jesus came, He made His Spirit, the eternal Spirit, an offering. He called it the end of the world. Once and for all, this man was offered up at the end of the world. It restored my nature of righteousness. And think, an unfathomable price can't even be understood or approached to. What kind of sane businessman would run a program like God? I mean, the molecular structure that holds the chair together that you're sitting on was created by Him. He has the blueprint for the atom. There's even finer matter than atoms. There's something so small that it'll float through the earth and not touch anything because it's like giant caverns to it. This piece of matter is that small, yet He blueprinted it, created it, and all the forces that hold it together. He's so organized, it's sickening. Give you an ounce of wisdom, you could make billions off of it. We can't even get that close.
Oh, Jesus.
And what kind of God that could create that would slaughter animals by the thousands just to talk to you? Is that some kind of disorganization? What kind of bloody mess is that? Killed bunches of animals. I mean, the guy that created the atom kills animals in your stead. Who would run a show like that? And even worse, the salvation of the entire world lies in a cradle in an obscure village called Bethlehem. Come on. Every nation populated. And the salvation of the whole world hinges on this one baby. What kind of business plan is that? I mean, I'd put one in every home. I'd put one in every home. And who would plan something that difficult? And who would plan something that has the handicap that that has? I'll tell you who. I can tell you why. Because there's no plan B. 10 billion equations later, in the righteousness that He is, there was no other way to come after you. Don't you think you could help Him out a little by getting somebody saved? Come on. If He overcome all that difficulty factor, just to walk up to you and say, "Hi, what do you think?" Overcame all of that. Couldn't salvage the angel population. But He salvaged you. Overcome all of that. just so he could walk up to you and say, "You're my son. You're my daughter." And just in case you're interested in not getting caught up in a bunch of religion and unbelief and insults, all that I am, I'm making available to you. Just in case. In fact, I don't think that we'll trust you with one of the mighty arcs. Gabriel, Michael, we'll just send them about with their armies and things to be ministered for those who should be heirs of salvation. But oh, your family, and you need to be taught. And the devil, he's a destroyer and a murderer, and his seat was with Hitler, and it was with Stalin, and the king of Tyre, and the king of Babylon. He was seated with all of these and tried to destroy the world. It's okay. Because the third person of the Godhead is going to come and step down and live in and with you just in case you happen to stumble on all things are possible to him that believes.
I'm illiterate, can barely pray. My education's only the 6th grade. What can I possibly do?
Everything.
Amen. Well, I don't know how to pray.
That's okay, the Holy Spirit says. Step aside, boy. How about me writing the prayer for you so it can be answered?
And what might that be?
Besides this, I got somebody inside of me that prays hour after hour in tongues just to make sure I understand what is in here and the purpose of my life and what my calling is. We're talking about God's right standing. We're talking about His righteousness. We're talking about a plan of salvation with no plan B. That can be done no other way. But we're also talking about a Father who has swore to you that all things are possible to him that believeth. I tell you what, I think that just for that little old lesson on righteousness, that we need to jump up and lift our hands and thank Him for the miracles. Woo! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, go on. I can't hardly make it anyway. Can't hardly make it anyway. Go on. Mentor Sikuratia Laki. Hallelujah. Tulsa is my house. And I want it. Hallelujah. Tulsa is my house. And I want it. Hallelujah. Programs are supposed to keep up with the move of the Spirit, not replace it. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, go on. Go on. Go on. Hallelujah. 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 Tell me about a major key. Ooh, how about worship? How about fellowship? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah! 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 You mean more than this world to me? Wouldn't trade you. Whew. Hallelujah. Go on, sing a little bit. Yes, for surely things shall be seen that has not been seen in many, many centuries. So hear, see, believe. And for you that has ears to hear, hear. For it shall be line upon line. As my foundation is in place, and I build thereupon. He that has ears to hear, and indeed, even more shall be given. For as these times come and they go, for the manifestation of my glory shall begin small here and it shall begin there. And in many, many isolated places. But each of these shall burn as fire until soon the whole earth shall be raging and the knowledge and the glory of your Lord. So much so as the water covers the sea. In the last days, I shall raise a standard. And the whole world shall see and know that I am Lord. And in that day, I will return. And many of you shall see me face to face in that day. So be strong and be of good courage and have no fear, nor take the cares of this life. But be bold and move forward. For what is too hard for him that believes? Is there anything too hard for me? For even in your own city, you shall be amazed for what you see. For continue on the path you're on. And there'll be a strong fire rage in this place that'll set the precedence for many, many places. So be faithful. For things are about to come that you have not seen before, saith the Lord. Boy, can I believe that. Can I believe that? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to Genesis. First chapter, of course. So let me pass and review and work on this one point to clear it up. Extend your faith this way. I think we can make it to a certain point that I want to clear up, and then we'll. Father, we thank you for these next few moments in your word. When you said we can know the truth and make us free. And that whole thing started when you gave us a new nature. Now as you open up truth after truth, you were right. When you said faith comes by hearing. Hearing by your word. I've never had so much confidence in you. I want to thank you for making me your son. I thank you for laying the whole world out before us. Father, with all my heart, I thank you and glorify you. That great person, the Holy Spirit, as teacher. And for the supernatural language. It releases you to move on our understanding. For this, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. The one that got me to thinking how God teaches me is when I pray a mystery out in tongues, and the mystery I happen to pray is a mystery that everybody else is running down a wide path and you're swept up into believing it like everybody else does, because that's how just about everybody's teaching it. And this theologian, he asked me, when I get something that goes against the tide, he says, how does God snatch you up and turn you? And I said, well, usually he'll drop a revelation in my spirit that goes every direction at once and gives me an understanding of it. And I says, then if it's a really a hard thing to understand, sometimes he'll materialize a vision in my spirit. Now this is different. Once you become accustomed to it, you can tell the difference. It's not a vision out there. It literally materializes in your spirit. I can be looking at you and looking through that vision at the same time. I find it also activates itself sometimes in words of knowledge. And I'll see something in somebody's body that's wrong. And it'll just materialize for a moment like that. But he also uses it in revelation knowledge. And that's what happened here in Genesis. When I saw the creation of Adam and understood that the whole human race, including Eve, came through one single strand of DNA. Just one. When he said he formed man's body of the dust of the earth, hey, what words would they use? Except you'd form something. To form something is to form something out of something that already exists. Well, that's what our body was made out of, is the dust of the earth. I used to preach that he took like some mud and patty caked it into the shape of a body and then blew his spirit into him. I didn't have any other way to understand it, any other way, until just a couple of months ago God came and arrested me in the middle of my meditation. As you remember, we were studying whether children were born spiritually alive or not. And when I came to this place to understand the creation of all of them and all of it, as going down the same broad path everybody goes down, and suddenly it came. Here came the vision. Just pow, just that quick. I saw the kingdom of God and the realm of the spirit and the kingdom of the natural, where everything natural comes from. All the animals, whales, giraffes, They all come from a single strand of DNA. Well, so did we, our bodies. But this is where the difference came. Suddenly, from the kingdom of God, came a strand of DNA. And then came the natural strand of DNA. And suddenly they merged and wrapped themselves around each other. And the kingdom of God united itself in us, the natural world, in one single strand of DNA. So here we are, the God-man. We both belong to the realm of the natural, yet we have a spirit that came from a single strand of spiritual DNA that wrapped itself around the natural strand and merged. And a human being, Adam, was the result of it. Right here is their creation. Right here. 27th verse of the first chapter. Genesis said, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Isn't that interesting how that is worded? When he gets to the actual creation, because the 27th verse, he said he made it in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. So in the 7th verse of the 2nd chapter, and the Lord God formed. What would a person do with that word? It wasn't until this last few decades did we understand DNA, the building blocks of life, how something is formed. In fact, when a baby's formed in a womb, you ever saw the x-rays? It looked like a clear little body. You can just see. I mean to say that they're not human being and abort. But when you look at the little bitty body, it looks transparent. You can just almost see through it. But here's the miracle. Every cell, even your hair, your saliva, every cell has a blueprint in it for the whole body. Now, I often wondered how God could form a little body like He forms it. It just keeps increasing in itself. Layer after layer, it just keeps increasing and gets bigger and bigger until pretty soon, here you are. Well, every cell carries the entire blueprint for the whole body. Therefore, the information in the layer that was just created carries the information for the next one and the next one and the next one until your whole body is created. Incredible. And just a strand of hair has that strand of DNA in it that makes up the blueprint for you. Well, when he uses words like formed, to us, that's what we would do with clay. We would form something with it. Well, little did we know that God was using a strand of natural and spiritual DNA. And as he fed everything into it, it itself is what formed the human. Well, this gets interesting in this second chapter, 7th verse. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man came alive and aware and conscious of his surroundings. Boy, this is interesting. Well, then he talks about when he took Eve out of him. And he did that at the end of the 3rd chapter. He must have put him to sleep for about 10 years or something. That's one thing I'm going to ask God. How long was Adam asleep? Because the 21st verse of this second chapter says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep. Now, when I get into a deep sleep, I usually sleep a while. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs. Isn't this interesting? And closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, in my King James, you know, that was too obvious of a word. They put made in there to try to clear your understanding up. But the real word was builded. He builded, much like form. When I heard people try to break these verses down, as we've covered before, but a friend of mine was preaching on it one time, and he said when he first created Adam, he created the woman's spirit. But the woman's spirit occupied his spirit. In other words, her spirit was already formed, and it was just standing there in Adam's. So he took the rib to form the body and her spirit, and he put her in it. But in reality, Eve existed in his DNA. So the reason he needed the rib from the man is to get the sequence from the DNA to make the woman. He didn't create her. He didn't make her. He builded her from something that already existed. Hallelujah. Hello, woman. Boy, what I like is there's only one chromosome difference between a man and a woman. Now, I hate to go PG-13 on you again. There's only one chromosome difference. Then I find out the Latin word for chromosome is rib. It's rib. Isn't that amazing? Just one chromosome between me and you. You, at least on the front right here. Right here. And that variation is called chromosome. It's called rib. One chromosome difference. All my life I've wondered, all my life, why men have breasts. They're not good for anything. They're in the way. They never will be good for anything. Yet our bodies are that close. Did you know they can fill a woman up with man's hormones and she starts growing beards and things? Our bodies are that close. Just one chromosome different, one rib different. But actually, a deep sleep he caused to fall on Adam, and he took his rib. He took the sequence of DNA, took the chromosome, and went the way. That's the one variation between man and woman. Latin word is rib. And when I heard that, I thought, boy, are we cooking. Rib. Hallelujah. Well, this is really interesting. Because the whole human race came through one string, single strand of DNA. But before we stop this time, let's go over to the birth. Luke, the first chapter. Boy, I had a good time prophesying. Wait till we get into the resurrection on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and a bunch of the bodies of the saints that slept were running around Jerusalem, appearing to many. Who were they? Wasn't it? So were they glorified human beings? And what did they do? Go back and just put back in their grave and covered up? Well, did they go to heaven? Oh, then there's glorified people in heaven. Well, where did they go? Home? Oh, then there is glorified people in heaven that have their glorified bodies. Yes? No? Nobody wants to raise their hand on either one. Well, I mean, why doesn't anybody preach on it? The grave's open. They were seen in Jerusalem and appeared to many. How many's ever heard that preached on? Have you? Did they tell you where they come from? Is anybody having a good time? Do you remember when the born again trail started and he says all things are possible will be in many of the verses people leave out. Do you believe it now? Yes. You're finding out you're really sons and daughters of God by birth. Whew. Let's just read about this birth here. Why don't we start with the 30th verse of the first chapter of Luke. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, why, how shall this be? Seeing I know no man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, what happened here? You know, what happened here? Well, it'd take me a little bit to get into it. But to give you a little more fuel, go to the second chapter of Hebrews. About the 14th verse of the second chapter. And then we'll stop. For so much then, Hebrews 2nd chapter 14th verse, for so much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil. I want you to, if you can underline anything, underline the word part of the same. Part. That he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage to that sin nature and the devil who guided it over them and controlled through that nature. Now notice 16, for truly he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them who are tempted. So that holy thing that was born of her was conceived of God, and what part of it? Did he receive that was from us? Took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. So he's tempted in all points like us. Yet if he's conceived of the Holy Spirit, what part of him was like us? Did he get his body from God, or did he get it from Mary? Who did he get his spirit from? This is getting interesting, isn't it? It's so interesting to meditate on till we get there, right? Meanwhile, you can think about those people that jumped out of the grave, too. Did you have a good time?